Morning is Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, page 1037. Luke, chapter 8, page 1037. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom several demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please do take a seat. If you're able to lay hold of one of those church Bibles on page 1037, do have a look at that, and our young people are starting to make their way out, the teenagers, to their teenage group now as well. I'm going to pray for us as we come to look at this Bible reading a bit more. When he'd said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Heavenly Father, we ask that as we look at this parable, these parables of Jesus, may we not just hear a human voice, but actually behind it hear your voice speaking to each one of us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, does our screen work? There it is. Do you remember the time Mr. Bean went to church? He arrived late. An unfriendly person didn't give him too much help to find the hymn to sing, and it was a bit late by the time he found it, and he was left standing up by himself. And then there was the sermon. It went something like this. La ba la ba la ba la ba ba la ba la ba la ba 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 ba. And it droned along in the background, unintelligible, completely over the top of Mr. Bean's head. And you can forgive him for struggling to stay awake. And he got distracted by all kinds of things until eventually he falls into a deep sleep. Well, I do hope this morning, for all of our guests in particular, joining us, that things don't work out for you like that. But sometimes Christians are quite good at making our message seem boring, irrelevant, intolerant, or just maybe a bit pathetic. Well, if that's the case, it will be great for us to take a little look again at the reading we've had from Luke's Gospel. And these parables, these special stories of Jesus that have a spiritual meaning. And this morning's ones are all about listening, how we hear the message of Jesus. And whatever the faults we Christians may have in communicating, it's clear from these parables that there's not a problem with Jesus or his message. On these Sunday mornings, we are working our way through Luke's Gospel, an account of Jesus' life that Luke has carefully put together. And we've got to chapter 8. And before we look at the parables, let's just see what is going on, what Jesus is doing. It's there in verse 1. He's going around proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus has a message from the Father, the creator of the universe. And he says it is good news, great news. It's neither boring, irrelevant, intolerant, or pathetic, but fantastic. Now, there has been some good news in the news this week. If you love Apple products, good news, the iPhone X is available. But it's not good news for all because of the price tag, £1,000. Other good news, offshore wind power has now clearly surpassed nuclear power in terms of price. This is good news, at least for most of our environment. Though I guess for many of us, we won't see much difference in our lives. But I want to suggest that the good news being proclaimed by Jesus is somewhat better than either of these things. For a start, it's good news for all, not just an interested few. In verse 1, Jesus is going around from every village and town proclaiming the good news to all. And you get this little description of the sort of people that are starting to believe in it and follow him. You've got the 12 who are fishermen, lowly fishermen. And then you've got them right up to this lady called Joanna, who's the wife of the manager of King Herod's household, someone in a very high position. The good news of Jesus is for all types. And I would suggest it's actually spectacularly good news. Verse 12 talks about it as a message that saves us. Jesus has come to earth to save us. And in this part of Luke's gospel, we get lots of snapshots of the wonderful salvation that Jesus has come to bring. Next week, we're going to see an incident of how Jesus saved his disciples from a hurricane on the sea, just with a word. That is tremendously relevant, is it not? Someone has the power to save us from that. And then the week after, we're going to see a man who is totally addicted to evil, a violent man who can't live in civilization, who is saved by Jesus. There's just a couple of things that happened this week. Korean missiles, bucket bombs on the tube. Again, Jesus' news is highly relevant. And we keep on seeing how Jesus saves people also from sickness and death. And that is always a pressing need. But even more than that, we heard from Ellie, didn't we? And we heard last week, if we were here, how Jesus has not just come to deal with the problems out there, but also the problem of evil in here, in each of our hearts. He's come to forgive us, to change our hearts, and make us people of love. So here comes this Jesus, and he's saying he's come to bring God's kingdom, which one day we will see in full, and evil will be destroyed. It is a message of spectacularly good news, neither boring, irrelevant, intolerant, or pathetic. And so these parables that we're going to have a quick look at now, they're all about the question, will we hear this message? Will we hear the message of Jesus? The punchline, which I read out before, comes in verse 8. As he speaks to this great crowd, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so I do hope that, unlike Mr. Bean's experience, there is something worth listening to today. Not from me, but from Jesus himself. Will we hear his message? Have a look then at this famous parable of the sower. It's verse 4 if you're following along. Here is Jesus, a magnetic figure. The crowds are gathering around, hanging on his every word, and he tells this spiritual story. A farmer goes out to sow seed. It's not in the style of modern farming or gardening. I quite like trying my hand at gardening, growing vegetables, and it tells in books like this how to put the seeds in the perfect separations apart, in the perfect kind of conditions to make it grow. Now, in Jesus' time, the farming in view was more this kind of thing, the scattering of seeds across a field. And the guy simply went around and scattered the seed all over the place, and the practice was to plow it afterwards. And in the process, the seed fell on all kinds of different kinds of surfaces. A pathway would have ran through the field, and seed that fell on that would have been trampled or eaten by birds. Then there was the rocky parts of the field. This was a hill country, and in some places the soil was really shallow. And so there wasn't enough space for proper roots to grow, not enough space for them, the plants to cope with the hot sun when it came. And so it withered when times of testing happened. Then there were also thorns, big Palestinian thorns that would grow up, and if not adequately controlled, choke the plants. But finally, in the field, there was also good, deep soil where the seed got in properly, germinated, and went on to grow and bear much fruit. There's the parable. And Jesus says at the end, in verse 8, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so, some in the crowd come and ask him more about what he's talking about. And you get the answer in verse 10. He says to his disciples, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Jesus is saying that he's using parables to be deliberately cryptic. It would seem that he doesn't want everybody to hear his message. That sounds quite strange, doesn't it? But in Jesus' day, you see, he had quite a lot of problems. A lot of the people were not happy about him. Some were plotting already to do away with him because he offended them at his claim of authority. And so Jesus is cryptic. At this stage, he doesn't yet speak completely plainly. If you want to know what he really means, you've got to come and ask. Got to come and investigate with a genuine sympathy, and then he will tell you. But if you remain at odds with him, he won't tell you any more. And so the question is, will we want to hear his message? Now, we live a long time after Jesus' day. It's not quite the same anymore as back then, but it is possible today for some to be hostile to Jesus. Maybe we've been through that phase in our lives. Maybe at the moment we'd say we don't really believe in him. We don't feel that we could get anywhere with his message. But sometimes we're not allowing ourselves to give it consideration. And maybe you think, why should I give Jesus' message consideration? There are perfectly decent other explanations of the universe. Scientifically sophisticated ones, with Big Bang theories, evolutionary explanations for everything. And religion is just a side effect of human evolution. Jesus is just one of the more successful, but still deluded, religious figures. If anyone feels perhaps like that this morning, maybe Jesus is saying to you, have a more careful listen. And ask the question, could it be, have you even considered that the scientific or philosophic explanations you hold on to do not adequately explain every human experience? Jesus' message will yield its goodness if we're willing to give it a chance and come and find out more. Well, let's have a look then at this parable of the sower and a bit more detail about what it means. Look down then at verse 8. And into verse 10. Jesus says that the word, the seed, represents the word of God. That's the good news of the kingdom he is proclaiming and sowing far and wide. And the four types of soil represent different ways we might respond to it. So the seed on the path, verse 12, there are some who hear, but then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. It is said that Western civilization stopped believing in the devil sometime in around the 1960s. And it is also said that the devil's biggest trick is to convince us that he doesn't exist. But Jesus indicates, and he says more about this than anyone else, that there is a personal spiritual force that would really like us not to receive his message. Which is why he says it so forcefully, calling to the crowd, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Because there is a power at work influencing the way our world thinks that would love us to be immediately distracted from Jesus' good news. Would love us not to give the Christian message more than a moment's consideration. There's so many other explanations that perhaps seem more plausible. And if that's the case, well, the word never has the chance to get into us. And sometimes some dramatic life situation is needed to kind of shake us and make us reconsider and give Jesus' message half a chance. So some seed fell on the path. Then there was seed that fell on rock. And these are those who received this good news of the kingdom with joy. And if you think about what Jesus is saying and what Ellie said, it is great news. Forgiveness with God for free, a relationship with the creator of the universe that lasts forever, and a time to come when there'll be no hurricanes, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no evil. No wonder many receive this with great joy. As I was saying before, we love to run a course called Christianity Explored here at Holy Trinity. We've done it regularly since I've been here over the last 2 years. And I could say that everybody who's come and done the course has really enjoyed it and got to the end and essentially found the Christian message attractive and to have the ring of truth about it. Perhaps as a challenge, everyone enjoys the course. Come and test it out and prove me wrong and show that maybe I'm talking not the right thing here. All are welcome to look at the course. You see, the good news, it's great news. It's news of great joy. But, as Ellie hinted at, in this life there are plenty of troubles. And if we follow Jesus, it won't always be easy. It'll mean a radical change to our priorities. And it'll mean being willing to be associated with Jesus and his followers. And that might mean pressure upon us. And so some who receive the news with joy, when the time of testing comes, when the difficulties come, will fall away. Someone has said, it's not so much that Christianity has been tried and found wanting, but found difficult and therefore not tried. Some seed fell on the rock. Then there was the seed that fell among thorns. And Jesus says that the thorns refer to life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Now, let's face it, there's plenty in life to be worried about. If you're a young person, the economic outlook for you is more challenging probably than it was for your parents. You face possibly a lifetime of debt. You may never own a house. You may never have job security. If you're a bit older, and like me, have young children, there are piles of worries that come with that. And if maybe you're a bit older than that even, well, there are so many health things to worry about. What about riches? If we don't feel we've got enough, there's the constant concern. Or if we've got plenty, there's so much to worry about. How can we keep it safe? How can we invest it wisely? What's a good thing to spend it on? And then, of course, there's life's pleasures. Don't we deserve a bit of pampering sometimes? But so often, life's little luxuries can become life's little necessities. Jesus is so realistic. He knows what life is like. He knows that there are worries and riches and pleasures. He knows that those things can crowd out his message, squeeze it out and choke it out. Even if we started out with good intentions, they can squash our Christian faith. And the tragedy is they'll stop us from growing and maturing and bearing fruit and may stop us from having eternal life. Some seed fell among thorns, which leads us to the last soil, the good soil. Let me read again the explanation of the good soil. Verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. What marks out the good soil? It's to do with how they hear the message. They don't just hear and then forget. They don't just hear with joy, but then run when the trouble comes. No, they hear, they retain, and then persevere in doing what Jesus says. The noble and good heart they have, it's not so much that they're intrinsically more noble or good than anyone else. It's to do with how they hear. And so you could translate the sentence as for that seed in good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast with an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. The bearing of fruit is referring to all the good things that Jesus calls his followers to do. The loving kindness thing and things like that he calls of us. And if we trust in him, he comes and lives with us by his Holy Spirit. And he changes us and he helps us to live and do good to many others with patience and perseverance, which are required. And this parable speaks of a crop 100 times what was sown. That's the wonderful promise for those who hear and retain and persevere in the message. It's not a promise of wealth and happiness now, but it is a promise of a fruitful life now and then eternal life with him. Following Christ is ultimately more than worth any of the troubles that might come along the way. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So will you hear Jesus' message this morning? It is far, far better than the droning priest when Mr. Bean went to church. But as we finish, perhaps from all we've considered so far, I wonder if maybe there doesn't seem an urgency to respond to Jesus. Well, if that's the case, let me just refer you to the two tiny little sections that come after the parable of the sower. Look down at verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Just some very brief comments. The lamp is surely referring to Jesus, and the light is him and his message. And it is being broadcast. It's being scattered everywhere. His church today is doing it imperfectly, yes. But one day, all the world will see it. And one day, verse 17, his light will show up everything in our lives. All will be exposed. God is going to weigh up our lives in the balance. And therefore, it is urgent to listen carefully to this message of salvation while we can receive it and be saved. We stand to gain so much if we do, but here there is also this warning. We stand to lose everything if ultimately we reject it. So it's urgent. Give Jesus' message a hearing while you can. But then, verse 19 to the end, there is an encouragement, a wonderful encouragement. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. They were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Well, there's so much in this statement, but let me just share one wonderful encouragement. If we are those who hear God's word and put it into practice, then we are in Jesus' close family. We are as close as his mothers and his brothers. We can be in that kind of close relationship with the creator of the universe. And that is the essence of eternal life. That's what Ellie was talking about. That Jesus is offering a wonderful intimacy with the creator of all that goes well past this life and lasts forever. Now, is that boring, irrelevant, intolerant, or pathetic? Or is it the best news ever? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your message is being broadcast everywhere. And we thank you that it is spectacular news for a hurting world and hurting people. May we be those who, even today, receive it, retain it, and persevere in it, and enjoy the fruitfulness of life now and forever. We thank you for this. We thank you for Albert and Lawrence and Georgina's baptism and what that means. And may they too be those who hear, retain, and persevere in the message of Jesus. We ask it for his name's sake. Amen.